You're listening to Sips of Sanity, your toolkit for emotional and intuitive intelligence, or what we like to call the dirty work. Let's do it.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm excited.
Why?
I like the topic.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, let's introduce it right off the bat then. We're going to talk about relationship repair. And I think if anybody's been listening to Sips of Sanity for a while, this should come as no surprise, given we talked about friendships a couple of months ago, back in October. Mm-hmm. So, and part of the reason, if I just sort of give a little background to this, part of the reason I wanted to do relationship repair was that when I really heard the term and really learned what it is to actually go through this as a process, I thought, why in the heck didn't I know this stuff when I was way younger? Mm-hmm. Because you just sort of, anyway, now I realize I'm chit-chatting about it, but you just sort of go through life in the same pattern of cycling the type of conversation that you're in. Your partner does the same darn thing. And I don't know, why don't we stop and look at each other and say, this isn't working?
Yeah, and I want people to know too, you don't have to have a partner to understand relationship repair. This can be with regards to friendships. This can be with regards to your coworker relationships. There will be elements that you can take away no matter who you're interacting with.
Yeah, that's right. So over 5 shows in our whole series, we're going to talk about what breaks a relationship, what not to do after the fight, what not to do during the fight, and what a relationship can look like when you're in repair, and then what you want to do going forward to create the mutuality so that you care enough and connect enough to each other that you have a plan to go forward.
Good. So we're handing them a process to navigate repair, to understand when it's needed, how it can be implemented, and how you can strengthen things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And hopefully then, if they're doing all of that, of course, if you're listening to this thinking, okay, sounds like a lot of work to me. Well,
it is. Relationships are a lot of work. And if you're sitting here being like, well, that sounds like a lot of work, like fucking isolate yourself. Don't be around people if you're going to be that person.
I could just see some people going, cheers, I'm with that, Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you work, if you raise kids, if you've chosen to be in a partnership, a friendship, then you have a responsibility to showing up as a healthier version of yourself. And I'll say for your own self, not just for the other person, but when you show up unhealthy, then you're creating a ton of anxiety for yourself. And that anxiety is going to be reflected in your health. So hopefully people can be interested and want to stay tuned for this. So let's start, Kel. Let's jump right into relationships and how they break. What crashes your relationship? And I know that there will be regular listeners that are going to be super excited at this point right now. Get up, get out of your chairs, folks. You can start doing your dance and screaming. The 15 forms of verbal abuse. And if you are a regular listener and you don't know that, have another drink of your coffee. Because you should know by now that participating in or being in a relationship where somebody else is using forms of verbal abuse is going to be one of the things that deteriorates your relationship. And I'm not going to go into them because I'm going to assume that people know them or that they're going to go online and they're going to type in 15 forms of verbal abuse and up pops Patricia Evans with her verbally abusive relationship book. I want to move on to the other things that crash your relationship. One of them is just not listening at all. Not listening to what the other person is saying. And by that, I mean that you can be daydreaming while they're talking to you. You could be in your own head coming back with your own defense or your own attack or whatever it is that's on your own agenda. But it could also be where you're distracted and where you're looking for other distractions. So say traffic goes by and you get distracted by the noise of the garbage truck. But where you allow some form of distraction to break the connection between the two of you. Because if somebody is coming at you in a conversation and now it's escalating, they're looking to make a connection with you, or they would have left. They wouldn't have approached you. And what you're doing when you move into being distracted is you're breaking that connection. And the other person can go into levels of stress and anxiety when you get distracted because they see you breaking the connection.
Yeah, I think some people will hear what you say and they'll resonate with it. And some people will think, well, we're both in the car together. We were both distracted by the same thing. How is the connection broken? And what we're really talking about is your disengagement. If you are disengaging from the person and you are engaging in another visible kind of experience that's happening, then the focus is no longer on the relationship or the other person or the problem or the solution, whatever it is that you guys are trying to do together. That's what we refer to the connection as, right? It's when you disengage from that as a focus, you've broken the connection, as Karen says.
Mm-hmm. And you could, to add to what you're saying, because you're talking about being in a car, the distractions could be really valid. But like you say, it's to be able to be present enough when a distraction occurs that you're still listening to the other person.
Yeah, and things that break a relationship aren't always intentional, as you're saying, right? So yeah. I could be happy to be in the car with you, traveling, you know, to some kind of destination, enjoying the conversation, and something comes up as a distraction that has the potential to pull our focus away from one another. That's okay, but we still have to understand that if you were in the middle of saying something important to you and now we're not getting back to it once the distraction has happened, the need for repair exists. And it's not that someone is at fault. It's that this has occurred and someone needs to take responsibility to create or implement or initiate repair.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking about other forms of distractions. And one that popped into my mind, and I don't know if you could actually say this is a distraction, but imagine if your partner always chooses to pick these tough conversations when you're going to bed, and your distraction is actually that you fall asleep.
Well, that's not fair. I would blame the partner who's choosing to do this at an inopportune time.
Yes.
When they know that you are not at a capacity.
Yes.
That's a form of undermining.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for doing that.
It's saying, look at me, I'm doing my work. What are you doing falling asleep, not doing yours? It's like, no, grow the fuck up and don't tackle things at 10 p.m. if you're not both night owls.
Good. Thank you for wording it as undermining, Kelly.
But it's the same if I pick, I'm a morning person. If I pick to approach my partner at 7 a.m. when I know they don't necessarily rise and get into their body until 9:30, that's a me problem.
It certainly is. Anyway, I'm hoping that what people will do just in this example alone is think, okay, do I do this? Because what can happen is that when you're listening to this, it's easy to think my partner does this to me. My mother does this to me. But what we, or my coworker or whoever, but what we want you to do too is to be able to recognize, do I do these things?
Okay. I'll also say disagreements can break a relationship, even when no form of verbal abuse exists, right? When you recognize in a moment that the two of you are not on the same page, not in agreement with a way forward, then a break has occurred. And again, it's no one's fault. Everyone's entitled to their own stance or opinion or needs or desires or whatever it is. And you're recognizing that two individuals are standing in front of each other, needing or wanting different things.
Mm-hmm.
A break has been made. Mm-hmm. And now we need to figure out what the repair needs to look like.
I like how you say that even in your tone of voice, because it could be that the break occurs and you could be calm about it and go, oh, okay, I see a break here. We have some work to do on this. Or you could respond dysregulated and go into anger over it. and have a response that's really challenging for your partner to be able to say, okay, I want to be engaged in resolving this with you, versus with that attitude or that tone of voice, I don't want to be.
Yeah, and the I don't want to be can be I'm right and you're wrong. It can also be I don't want to engage, so I'll let you be right and I'll be wrong.
Oh,
that's still
yes.
a break. The repair is not acquiescing to the partner and saying, you have it your way, honey, so that we have peace and harmony on the surface. You've created a break.
Oh, Kelly, that's such a good one. Because I think that the people that acquiesce don't believe that they're the breakers. They think they're the ones that are constantly mending the relationship. Mm-hmm. They think that they're the ones that are wearing the hats that keep the relationships together.
Well, here you've got the actually operative word, keep. Peacekeepers are actually breakers. Peacemakers who actively involve themselves in bringing people and ideas to the table and creating collaboration, they are healthy fixers. Mm-hmm. They are healthy solution-focused problem solvers. It's not the same thing as someone who actually breaks.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so why don't we leave it at that for today? And then if people want to join us for the rest of the series on patreon.com/thesarlows, then we've got Tuesday's episode, which is what not to do when the break occurs.